It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's in. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship. It's the worship and wellness broadcast here at Torso Ministry, and we would wish you a happy preparation day. May God bless you today. It's just a blessing to be here. It's already in September, and it is the 8th of September. The day which the Lord hath made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118, 24, and Psalm 122. Verse 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. At this time, my wife, Undreamed Of, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together for worship. We pray that your spirit will teach us the things we need to know as you anoint the words of our pastor. We pray, Lord, that as we continue to study out your word, that grace and wisdom can be granted to us as we draw nigh to you. These things are prayed and asked in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God is good, brothers and sisters, and at this time, we will have our opening song. It's about time for the coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about time.
God is good. All right, my brothers and sisters, our title is Strange Fire in the Church. Strange Fire in the Church. We're going to have a word of prayer at this time. Dear Father, as we come in this early morning hour to worship you, we pray for the Spirit of the living God to fall afresh upon us and help us to see the lovely Jesus in his kindness and loveliness, teaching us what is truth. Help us not to succumb to any of the devil's deceptions. We ask that you would help us as we prepare for the Holy Sabbath today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, brothers and sisters, strange fire in the church. We've been talking about prayer, and we spent a little time, a few days, talking about the Bible as we discussed the table of showbread. We've looked at the golden candlestick briefly just to understand that we are to have service to God. Maybe we might go and talk about that more at a later time. But the altar of incense, we had four square prayer yesterday because everything that was four square was an emphasis that it was for everybody. The cross was four square, meaning the altar of burnt offerings, breastplate, which had the tribes written on it, was four square. The foundation of the New Jerusalem was four square. And so we have that beautiful concept that four square, it was for everyone to be able to have access, and so everybody can have access to prayer. You know, it was Rome that would tell you that the prayer for forgiveness had to go through a priest, those kinds of deceptions God wants to put to rest. All right, we're in Exodus 30. Some of this is review, but we're going to be dealing with verse 9 mostly. It says, "And thou shalt make an altar of burnt offering upon." I'm sorry, thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon, of shittim wood shalt thou make it. A cubit shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof, four square shall it be, and two cubits shall be in the height thereof, the horns thereof shall be of the same. And we may deal with this at a later time. The incense, brothers and sisters, represents the righteousness of Christ. You know, we stink, but our prayers are mixed with this sweet incense of his righteousness. So when the Father, and this is part of the plan to save us, when the Father gets our prayers, it's mingled with the righteousness of Christ. So he's answering the prayer of one who never sinned because he's offering that prayer for you. Now, he might not offer a prayer for a Lamborghini or a Rolls Royce for you, but whenever, what I can say, because he knows what's best for us, but whatever, what I can say, anytime you want to be a better person, the prayer is always in the affirmative. It's always answered, yes, you can have that, because that's the true jewels. That's the true riches. It's character, the character of Christ. Whenever you want to be a better person, overcome sin, not be deceived, those prayers are always answered in the affirmative, brothers and sisters, always. And that's why Jesus used that. He taught that concept when he dealt with leprosy. He always, whenever the request for leprosy was granted, he always was there because leprosy was a symbol of sin. And so he always, there were times when Jesus couldn't heal because the people didn't believe. Okay? So I guess by the time you got leprosy, you're not even going to go to him if you don't believe. You have no hope. All right. It goes on to say, "And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, the top thereof and the sides thereof round about, and the horns thereof, and thou shalt make unto it a crown of gold round about." And remember, it was made of shittim wood, which represents the humanity that is ready to receive divinity. The burning bush was a type of wood that could receive divinity. And we believe the burning bush was shittim wood. We don't have any proof of that, but that was the main wood in that desert region. Okay, that's what we know. And two golden rings shalt thou make it under the crown of it by the two horns thereof. Upon the two sides of it shalt thou make it, and they shall be places for the staves to bear it withal. So every time they had to carry it somewhere, because they were camping at this time. This was the tent of the wilderness, so they had to move it. So they had these wooden staves that were covered with gold, staffs that were covered with gold, wooden poles covered with gold, so that two men, one on each side, could pick up the two and carry it. And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood and overlay them with gold, and thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, which before the mercy seat that is over the testimony where I will meet with thee. So basically, you walk in the sanctuary. To your right is the table of showbread. To your left is the golden candlesticks. But the altar of incense was right in front, and it was right next to the veil that separated the holy place from the most holy place. So that was the closest place to the throne of God. Friends, when you pray, you come close to the throne of God. That's a beautiful concept, you know, just knowing that when we pray, sweet hour of prayer, that song says, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word, and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, may I thy consolation share till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height I view my home and take my flight. In my immortal flesh I'll rise to seize the everlasting prize. And listen to this. Most people don't realize and really focus on the words of a song. And shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. My brothers and sisters, prayer is an emergency measure because humanity cannot come into the very presence of divinity, and we see God face to face. So God invented this thing called prayer, and we very little take advantage of it. You know, it says sweet hour of prayer. Do we pray for an hour? I mean, this is convicting me. We need to pray, brothers and sisters. Sometimes when you think you got insomnia, no, God might have awakened you. That's time to pray. We get upset because we can't go back to sleep. Pray, and the devil will make you sleepy. Pray, and you stay and read God's word. If you get up, the devil will make sure you get a little sleepy. Okay, brothers and sisters? So I am here to tell you that God has given us this wonderful gift called prayer. It brings us close to God. And when we see Jesus face to face, there'll be no more prayer because it was an emergency measure to allow us to come close to God. And Aaron shall burn thereof sweet incense every morning. When he dresseth the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. And notice what it says in verse 9. Ye shall offer no strange incense thereon. That's incense represents righteousness. No strange incense thereon, nor burnt offering, nor meat offering. Neither shall ye pour drink offering thereon. We're talking today about strange fire. In Isaiah chapter 56, verse 7, the Bible says, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. You see, prayer is so important that God called his building, the church, the house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called and house of prayer for all people. So, brothers and sisters, if it's a house of prayer, don't you think the devil would want to pervert prayer? Absolutely, he does. Some people don't believe they're praying unless they're speaking in tongues. And sometimes when you're speaking in tongues, they combine that with prayer. I'm going to take you in the Bible, friends, to a most misunderstood verse, because many, even of my dear friends, have gotten involved with a deception that we must unmask because we love God's people. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In 1 Corinthians 14, it says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. So, brothers and sisters, a lot of people in their prayer, I have a friend, he used to be my friend, I'm his friend, he's not been very much of my friend, but he said he started praying and some stuff just started coming out. Well, see, you know, I noticed that when we were worshiping together, there was just a lot of yelling and screaming and just manifestations. And I'm all for being emotional. I mean, when happy is that people whose God is the Lord? You can't sit emotionless in the presence of God, friends, if the Spirit of God is moving on your heart. But emotion is not truth, okay? So we base our religion on emotion. Just because you yelled and screamed, and that doesn't bring Christ closer. It's when your heart is right with God, friends, when you're following his will, and when you're obedient, and when you're following the truth, all the truths that he has given, and you can humbly come before him and say, Lord, I want, and whatever you lack, ask for it. You see, God accepts that kind of worship. So I had noticed that, you know, they started being a little bit more, what's the word I want to, kind of Pentecostal, so to speak, you know, in the worship styles and everything. But then all of a sudden, you know, people from various churches in the group started speaking in tongues, okay? Not as in languages, but manifestations of gibberish that had come upon them. So they believed that 1 Corinthians 14 was a different experience than Acts chapter 2. That's the bottom line. But notice, it is not. It says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaks unto men. It's just talking about in the church. So if you speak in an unknown tongue in the church, that means that you're speaking in a language and nobody in the church understands it because it's unknown to them, because they all speak Greek. Okay, so you go into a Greek church and you're speaking in an unknown tongue. It's unknown to them. That's what this is talking about. Okay. Because God is saying he'd rather us prophesy in the language of the people, speak the truth in the language of the people. So these are the verses. It's several verses in here that are misunderstood. It says that no man understands it. So that means that the speaker himself, and I heard one preacher say, I don't even understand, that the person doesn't even necessarily understand because he's a man. Okay, well, that's not true, because when you keep reading, they speak and they edify themselves. That means they teach when they speak, because it talks about how they don't edify the others. They only edify themselves. So if they didn't understand what they said, how could they be edifying themselves? You follow what I'm saying, brothers and sisters? And so what people will say, well, why do they need an interpreter? Because if you talk to, I used to interpret for the hearing impaired. I don't try to sign to me today, because I was entry level and I really couldn't read it efficiently. So I just want to put that disclaimer out there. But I can tell you that in the world of interpreting, you can't interpret, at least in that way. You can't interpret. I mean, if you interpret for 2 hours, which we could talk for 2 hours, but if you interpret for 2 hours, you're like a wet spaghetti. You can't do anything. You're all stressed out. Your muscles are all tight. And not just because you've waving your hand, because two deaf people could talk for hours. It's that mental translation of the word in English to the words in American Sign Language, or the words in English to the words in Signed Exact English, okay? It's challenging. And so even in interpreting, it is a gift. I know many people who can understand Spanish, but they can't really speak Spanish. They understand it. So there is a special gift for you to be able to hear a language. You might even understand it, but just to interpret it, it's a special gift, friends. Talk to interpreters. They will tell you this is the case. All right? So The fact that you needed an interpreter does not mean that you didn't understand what you said. But if you're speaking in an unknown tongue, that's not efficient for you to be able to speak. Why would you need to speak? Okay, I'm speaking in Swahili, and then I've got to say the same thing in English. Well, I guess if I'm discussing, and I'm dealing with two different parties in the church, but for the most part, you want to just keep speaking, you see. And so he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. There you have it. So you got have to understand it because you edify yourself. Now, there's many, and I've spoken about this, brothers and sisters, but I want to get to, since we're talking about prayer, I want to go to verse 14. Paul said, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." Now, when you pray, who are you praying to? He's talking about, now he's talking about in his closet, his personal prayer. He said, "If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." So notice verse, the operative word was if. He didn't say he prayed that way. So those who were in their home closets in whatever city you were in your morning prayer, and then you said something came over you, that was the spirit of the devil. I know you don't like me for that. But see, I will tell you the truth, brothers and sisters, because I love you. Most people won't tell you the truth because they don't love you. But I'm going to tell you the truth because I really love you. That was not the spirit of God, my friend. And so what happened is that you started speaking in tongues, and so you started thinking that this was God. And therefore, you brought it into the church. And for a temporary time, some churches that I knew, they kind of got involved in speaking in tongues. It's my understanding that they don't do it anymore. Well, that is proof that it wasn't of God because it didn't go over well. If it was the Spirit of God, it would have gone over fine because you would have brought more of the Spirit of God into the church, brothers and sisters. God never said in a religious setting you can't speak in tongues. He was just saying you do it at the appropriate time, like when there's people of a different language, as it was in Acts chapter 2, or maybe when they would travel abroad, and so on and so forth, okay? And so, my brothers and sisters, here you have it. He said, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Look at the next verse. What is it then? That's like us saying in our modern vernacular, what's that? Why would I do something like that? He said, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. So Paul did not pray in an unknown tongue like some of you did, and that's when this Spirit jumped off on you. Okay? And so I'm just talking about strange fire, brothers and sisters, and you might not like it, but I love you. And you will not be able to say that I did not tell you the truth. You won't say that because I did, and I did it in love. All right, brothers and sisters, strange fire. It talks about God's house being the house of prayer in Isaiah chapter 56, verse 7. Notice what happened in Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 and 13. And Jesus went into the temple and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. When we bring things, they had brought things into the precinct of the church that did not belong in a religious setting, okay? I am here to tell you snare drums don't belong in a religious setting. That's the little drums that you see the little guy, you know, doing. That's for the club, okay? It doesn't belong in a religious setting. That bass guitar with those snare drums and the keyboards and all the things that you have in a secular worldly band that plays pop music and soul music and R&B, the same people could play in church today, brother. It's the same rhythms, some of the same sounds, some of the same chords. You shouldn't bring that which is in the world into the church, my brothers and sisters. And that's what God is trying to tell us here. Okay, my house shall be, Jesus said they were a den of thieves. What did they do? They brought things that didn't belong into the church, into at least the precincts of the outer court, and they were selling and buying. The priests were actually stealing from the people because they knew that they were required to bring a dove or bring a ram or bring a lamb. And so these people had to travel a long way. So rather than, you know, carry all these animals along with them on this long trip, they didn't have Uber back then, didn't have Southwest Airlines back then. They had to walk. So they walked for days and days. It was a very enjoyable time. It was like a nice trip that people made with their animals carrying their oxen and things of this nature, but they couldn't carry everything, so they had to buy. So because that's why we call it highway robbery. You know, if you buy something at a gas station on the side of the road, you're going to pay more for it than if you could buy it at a little small store in your town or Walmart or whatever the case might be. Sometimes we call that highway robbery. They know that you're wanting it, and they know they can hike up the price because you're going to buy it, okay? You go to the airport, brothers and sisters, and you pay for a little bottle of water $7 or $8 sometimes, you know. I remember one time we had an apple, a little apple. It was $5 for an apple, but I call it skyway robbery. They know you're in the airport. You're not going to go back out through security and go get an Uber and go get an apple, so they're going to charge high prices for it. Skyway robbery. This is what the church was doing. They knew that the people were vulnerable. The priests were hiking up the price of these animals so that they could have something to sacrifice with, and they were padding their pockets. You can read about that in a book called Desire of Ages. But you don't need that. It's in the Bible. They were a den of thieves. So they were stealing. They were robbing people because they were taking advantage and putting money in their pockets. Because of the occasion, okay? So whenever we bring things into the church that should be out in the world, shouldn't be done in the church, friends, it's stealing. And so when you come to church and all the preacher is doing is giving you an emotional soup, and he's not teaching you intellectually the word of God so that you can intellectually and understand it and accept it without hooping, without hollering, okay? You don't have to holler to tell people the truth. You don't. All you end up with is being hoarse, and the people got all emotional, and their religious walk is the same 10 years later as it was 10 years ago, brothers and sisters. And yet, that's the only place that they feel comfortable going, and so on and so forth. And so that's what's happening in the church today. And so I want to share something with you, brothers and sisters. And before I do, I want to read to you about Nadab and Abihu. In Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1, 2, and 3, the Bible says, "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put strange fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, This is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me and before all the people, and I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace." You know, brothers and sisters, if we've gotten involved in some things that God wasn't pleased with, you know what we ought to do? We should humble ourselves and tell the people, listen, we got involved in something that was not of God. We apologize. That's all it is, and it's the people's duty and privilege to forgive, and it's God's blessing and privilege to forgive, and he will. But we're too proud to say I'm sorry. We're too proud to say we got involved in something that we ought not, and that's why God's going to have a leadership that he can use of humble leaders that will lead the people, that will have a spirit of humility, that would be willing to say I'm sorry if they messed up and if they went in a direction, took the people in direction that they ought not go. You see, some people are too proud to say, I'm sorry. And many of you haven't grown in your Christian walk like you should because you're too proud to say, I'm sorry. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but you look at somebody else's sin and you blow it up and you ignore your own. And that's why you blow up their sin, because it makes you feel better about yourself, brothers and sisters. But I'm here to tell you that God is looking at you, and you're going to have an Ezekiel 18 experience. You know, before you knew Christ the way you knew him, you were fornicating and drinking and smoking and doing drugs. You come into the church, you see somebody mess up, and then you just hard on them. You know, you're hard on them. Let me tell you what Ezekiel said. If you act that way, God's not going to forgive your sin in the end. All the sin you've ever did from way back when is going to be brought forth, brothers and sisters. I don't want that for you, and I don't want that for me. I'm here to tell you that God is a God who's serious about righteousness. He died on Calvary that all of our sins that we confess can be taken to the cross and nailed to the cross. And so he's not looking favorably on you, looking at somebody else and not forgiving their sin and putting it behind you. And he's going to say, if you don't do that, that's why in the Lord's Prayer it said, forgive our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us. You're not going to be forgiven if you don't forgive. And all your stuff from way back when, it's going to be labeled against you, brothers and sisters. I'm here to tell you that God is serious about Christianity and this Christian walk. And many people are going to be lost, and unfortunately. But you're not going to be lost on my watch, brothers and sisters, without knowing that God is real and he wants us to know what is truth. I'm going to read to you something that those of you who are Sabbath keepers, you've heard of a book called Last Day Events. It's a compilation, but I'm going to read some things because they pointed to some things that God showed in vision to a lady with a third grade education. It says, the things you have described as taking place in Indiana, the Lord has shown me would take place just before the close of probation. Every uncouth thing will be demonstrated. There will be shouting and drums, music and dancing. The senses of rational beings will become so confused that they cannot be trusted to make right decisions. Friends, when you go into churches that used to enjoy true worship and godly singing and prayer and I'm just being honest. I've been to a church recently, and before the service, they pulled the shades down. The lighting in the ceiling was like club lighting. It was too dark to hold a Bible. Nobody brought a Bible. Everything was up on the screen. They want your hands free to move, okay? The pastor pretty much got up and told stories. And everybody was dressed casually, short pants, jeans. It was casual month. So the pastor even, normally that month, would have his short pants on giving the sermon. Up on the pulpit. No, he wasn't on the pulpit. He got a chair and just sat down like we're having a little campfire. The senses would be so confused that they would not be trusted to make right decisions. I went to another church recently that I used to be a part of, friends. It was so loud, my eardrums hurt. I mean, they did a lot of hard work. I had to commend them for the work they had done. But I'm telling you, it was not true worship. It says, a bedlam of noise shocks the senses and perverts that which, if conducted aright, might be a blessing. Churches I used to go to, in the service, they would be shouting and yelling and stuff like that. A bedlam of noise shocks the senses and perverts that which, if conducted aright, might be a blessing. The powers of satanic agencies blend with the din and noise to have a carnival. And this is termed the Holy Spirit's working. Those things which have been in the past will be in the future. Satan will make music a snare by the way in which it is conducted. That's Second Selected Messages. Second Selected Messages, page 36, 38. I'm going to read on. It says, let us give no place to strange exercisings, which really take the mind away from the deep movings of the Holy Spirit. Friends, when you come to church, you know, I was looking at how some of the ladies were dressed. The guys were in the back in the choir, and the girls were in the front in the choir, and the tightness of the dress, brothers and sisters, I'm glad I didn't get in the choir because I don't want to stand behind that. I want to keep my mind on the Lord. Can we say amen? Brothers and sisters, let us give no place to strange exercisings, which really take the mind away from the deep movings of the Holy Spirit. God's work is ever characterized by calmness and dignity. So when you get down and you're praying in tongues, and this person's praying in tongues, and that's not calmness and that's not dignity. And when people are just screaming and yelling and we're saying, praise the Lord, yeah, we're saying all the right things some of the time, but it is a bedlam of confusion. There's no calmness and dignity in that, brothers and sisters. I'm going to read to you about false speaking in tongues from the same author. That was from the same book, Second Selected Messages. That was page 42. Let me read to you about false speaking in tongues. It says, let me see, where does it start? Fanaticism, false excitement, false talking in tongues, and noisy exercises have been considered gifts which God has placed in the church. Some have been deceived here. The fruits of all this have not been good. So what has been the fruit of it? If it was really the Spirit of God, my friends, it would have taken over in joy and everybody would have seen it. You shall know them by their fruits. Fanaticism and noise have been considered special evidences of faith. Oh, he's got the Spirit now. For the pastor's wife's got the Spirit now. Some are not satisfied with a meeting unless they have a powerful and happy time. Isn't that our time today, brothers and sisters? Isn't that what you get on the Sabbath and on Sunday today? If you don't get a happy time, you don't feel like you've been at church. They work for this and get up an excitement and feeling. You got to bring in the music. You got to get going. But the influence of such meetings is not beneficial. When the happy flight of feeling is gone, they sink lower than before the meeting because their happiness did not come from the right source. The most profitable meetings for spiritual advancement are those which are characterized with solemnity and deep searching of heart, each seeking to know himself and earnestly and in deep humility, seeking to learn of Christ. Oh, my brothers and sisters, God is good. That was Last Day Events, page 160. It's also Testimonies for the Church, volume 1, page 412. And so, my friends, we talk about this strange fire. Let's make sure we're not involved in any strange fire. We're not going to actually have the torso song at this time, brothers and sisters. We're going to go right into after prayer. We're going to hear from Sister Lenny, and she has a message of help for us at this time, and I will tell you what the title is. It is entitled Body and Mind Inseparable. And when you think about what we just talked about, how all these bodily exercises, how it affects the mind. Mind and body, or body and mind, inseparable. We definitely want to hear this message from God's servant on health, and we're going to have prayer, and then we will hear from Sister Lenny. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to worship you. We ask for your Holy Spirit to be with us, and we thank you for your kindness and grace. I pray that you bless us now, that your Holy Spirit will fill us and help us to have true worship, a worship where our hearts are like David's heart, where we say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Protect us, Lord. Protect us where we are. Protect us wherever we may be from demons that will try to encircle us. We pray that you'll protect us from those, some are traveling, Father. We pray that you protect them from the viruses that go around, and we thank you in advance for bringing them safely back home. We pray, Lord, that you will protect us even in our worship, that we will go where there is truth and have the Spirit, the true Spirit of God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, at this time, we'll hear from Sister Lenny, Body and Mind Inseparable.
Good morning. Happy Friday. Body and Mind Inseparable. One of the strongest temptations that man has to meet is upon the point of appetite. Between the mind and the body, there is a mysterious and wonderful relation. They react upon each other. To keep the body in a healthy condition, to develop its strength, that every part of the living machinery may act harmoniously, should be the first study of our life. To neglect the body is to neglect the mind. It cannot be to the glory of God for his children to have sickly bodies or dwarfed minds. To indulge the taste at the expense of health is a wicked abuse of the senses. The Redeemer of the world knew that the indulgence of appetite would bring physical debility and so deaden the perceptive organs that sacred and eternal things would not be discerned. Christ knew that the world was given up to gluttony and that this indulgence would pervert the moral powers. If the indulgence of appetite was so strong upon the race that in order to break its power, the divine Son of God, in behalf of man, was required to fast nearly 6 weeks. What a work is before the Christian in order that he may overcome, even as Christ overcame. The strength of the temptation to indulge perverted appetite can be measured only by the inexpressible anguish of Christ in that long fast in the wilderness. Christ knew that in order to successfully carry forward the plan of salvation, he must commence the work of redeeming man just where the ruin began. Adam fell by the indulgence of appetite. In order to impress upon man his obligations to obey the law of God, Christ began his work for redemption by reforming the physical habits of man. Intemperance in eating, even of food of the right quality, will have a prostrating influence upon the system and will blunt the keener and holier emotions. Strict temperance in eating and drinking is highly essential for the healthy preservation and vigorous exercise of all the functions of the body. This morning, this is coming from Lift Him Up. It's a devotional book. Reach out to someone today. Be a blessing. If any man defile the temple of God, him should God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. 1 Corinthians 3:17. May God bless you today. Be a blessing to someone.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, time for a roll call, brothers and sisters, and you can, on the call, you can press star 6 if you want to share. We'll start with Facebook. We have G Georgia. We've got Florida. We've got South Carolina. We've got Kenya. We've got Virginia. We've got, I need to find out where my dear brother is, Carl. We've got North Carolina. We've got Florida. And Brother Daniel, not sure where he's from. On the call, we have Ohio, Ohio again, and Ohio again. We have Alabama. We have Pennsylvania. We have Maryland. We have Delaware, Delaware, and Delaware again. We have Michigan. We have Oklahoma, Oklahoma again. We have New York, and we have Georgia. If you have any comment or question, just press star six. Happy preparation day. We will be on tomorrow at 12 doing a special sermon on science again, and we'll catch up on the message on the skeletal system and the plan of redemption. So if you want to see that, if you don't normally get our Zoom link for that, contact me via text message or Facebook or whatever, and I'll be able to share that link with you. The username is, it's a Zoom ID, 557-587-3947, and the password is torso, but if you get the link, I think you can just click that and get right in. All right, friends, there's no one in the queue, so I'm going to turn it over to my wife, Undreamed Of, to have our closing prayer at this time. She may not be available. I'll go ahead and pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the truth. We thank you for helping us to understand that you want us to worship in spirit and in truth, and that our minds and our bodies are inseparable. We pray that you will bless us now as we prepare for the Sabbath on today, and we ask that all that we must do, we pray for your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, dear ones, God bless you richly. The Bible says that he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come eternal life. Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God will open ways before us now undreamed of. God bless you. Our closing song is I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust you.